gone, and we will have no occasion to ever see him again.
Oh, Lizzie, pass me the scissors.
Mama! Oh, Mama! Wait till you hear. I have never been so excited in my life. Oh. I have received an invitation from Mrs. Forster. Oh. She wants me to accompany her to Brighton.
Oh, how delightful, Lydia, my love. Oh, our luck has changed.
What about me?
I am her friend, not you.
I cannot see why Mrs. Forster should not ask me as well as Lydia. I have just as much right to be asked as she has, and more.
Oh,
but I'm 2 years older.
Don't worry, I will write to you, Kitty.
Where is Father?
In his study. Oh, Lydia, we must pack at once and include all your fine dresses.
I think the temptations will be too great for her in Brighton. I think you should refuse to let her go.
Lizzie, dear, Lydia will never be easy till she has exposed herself in some public place or other, and we can never expect her to do it with so little expense or inconvenience to the family as under the present circumstances.
Father, if you do not take the trouble of checking her exuberant spirit, she will soon be beyond the reach of amendment. Her character will be fixed, and she will, at 16, be the most determined flirt that ever made herself and her family ridiculous.
Lizzie... Wherever you and Jane are known, you must be respected and valued. And you will not appear to less advantage for having a couple of, or I may say, three very silly sisters. Besides, we shall have no peace at Longbourn if Lydia does not go to Brighton. Let her go, then.
And so the regiment were to leave Meryton. On their very last day, some of the officers came to dine at Longbourn, and among their number was Mr. Wickham.
Miss Bennet, how could you go away from me for so long?
I'm sure you did not miss me a moment.
I was reassured only by the fact that you must be having a dreary time without me.
On the contrary, I spent a very pleasant time in Kent. In fact, we were joined there by Mr. Darcy and Colonel Fitzwilliam.
Ah, how did you find the Colonel?
I liked him very much.
His manners are very different from his cousins.
They are different. But I think Mr. Darcy improves on acquaintance.
Oh, he does. Especially when he is in the presence of his aunt. He lives in fear of her, you know. And of course he will want to forward the match between himself and Mr. Burke by any means possible.
I saw no signs of affection between him and Mr. Burke.
He does not need to feel anything for the lady to know that the match would be mutually beneficial.
Hello! May I raise a toast, ladies and gentlemen, to our brave and distinguished regiment who have served us so well. To the officers!
Oh, to the officers!
When the party broke up, Lydia returned with Mrs. Forster to Meryton, from whence they were to set out early the next morning. The separation between her and her family was rather more noisy than moving.
No, no, Kitty, for heaven's sake, stop that caterwauling.
Go, my dear Lydia, and do as I would have done. Enjoy yourself as much as possible. Do it for me.
Oh, depend upon it, Mama. Mama.
Her proposed tour to the lakes was now the object of Elizabeth's happiest thoughts. But a fortnight before their intended departure, Elizabeth received a letter from her Aunt Gardiner.
Mr. Gardiner is prevented by business from setting out till a fortnight later than we had planned, and he must be in London again within a month. Therefore, we intend to go no farther north than Derbyshire.
You should know, Lizzie, that Lambton is situated within 5 miles of Pemberley, Mr. Darcy's residence. You've heard so much about the place, I'm sure you will like to visit.
Oh, do not presume because I've heard so much. What I mean to say is that I must own I'm tired of great houses. Really, I take no pleasure in fine carpets and satin curtains.
But the grounds are so delightful.
Do you know if Mr. Darcy is now in residence at Pemberley?
I inquired the same thing of his housekeeper when I was planning our trip. She wrote to me to say no, but alas, he is not expected this summer. Why do you ask?
No reason. But perhaps we should do as you have planned. I am curious to see Pemberley. Yes.
The hallway, you'll see, is decorated with miniature portraits of the family.
This is the late Mr. Darcy as a young man, is it not?
Ah, such a wonderful man. Missed to this day. Of course, you are a local girl, Mrs. Gardiner.
It is such a delight to be back. Mrs. Reynolds, thank you so much for taking the time to show us round.
How long have you been housekeeper here, ma'am?
Since the present, Mr. Darcy was a young boy. Of course, he's all grown up now. Couldn't ask for a better master. We expect him tomorrow with a large party of friends.
Tomorrow? Lizzie, come and look at this portrait.
Ah, that is a young man who grew up on the estate, a Mr. Wickham, son of my late master's steward. He's gone into the army, I believe. But by all accounts, he's turned out wild. And that is my present master. And I have to say, very like him.
Lizzie, you can tell us whether it is like him or not.
Oh, does the young lady know Mr. Darcy?
A little.
And do you not think him a very handsome gentleman, ma'am?
Yes, he is.
And is Miss Darcy as attractive as her brother?
Oh, she is lovely and so accomplished.
Is your master much at Pemberley in the course of a year?
Not so much as I would wish, sir.
If your master would marry, you might see more of him.
Yes, ma'am, but I do not know who is good enough for him.
It is much to his credit that you should say so.
I say no more than the truth. I have never had a crossword from him in my life, and I've known him ever since he was 4 years old.
You were lucky in having such a master.
I could not wish for a better.
What date would you say the building was?
16th century, I'd say. One of the finest examples I've seen. Look at this.
Oh, no.
Miss Bennet? Miss Bennet?
Oh, Mr. Darcy, surprise.
Forgive me, I...
No, it is I.
You're in Derbyshire?
Yes. We were meant to visit the lakes, but we were prevented. I am here with my aunt and uncle. Mr. and Mrs. Gardiner.
Day to you, Mr. Darcy. What a wonderful estate you have here.
Thank you, Mr. Gardiner. I hope we do it justice. Where are you staying?
Lambton. My wife's family are from there.
Really? I have just arrived myself.
We were informed you would not be here till tomorrow.
I had to change my plans. How are your family, Miss Bennet?
Very well.
Your sister, Jane?
She is... She remains at home.
Well, give her, give them all my regards. If you will excuse me, I should
yes.
go. Good day to you.
Good day to you.
What a fine-looking man.
We should leave now.
Are you not feeling well, niece?
But our carriage is not here yet, Lizzie. I ordered it for 5. But perhaps we can walk towards the woodland. Get out of this sun.
Yes. Yes, please. I should like to walk a little. Away from the house.
I should like to go around the whole park. I wonder how far that would be.
Oh, my dear. You know I am not a great walker. Not like Elizabeth.
There's trout in the stream. There. You see.
Hello.
Why, it's Mr. Darcy again.
Mr. and Mrs. Gardiner, forgive my abrupt nature before. I wanted to welcome you properly to Pemberley.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Darcy. You're most kind. Oh, and whilst you're here, you can answer our question. How large is the park?
10 miles round, as far as the eye can see.
10 miles? I cannot walk 10 miles.
But we can follow the path of the stream instead. It is a lovely route.
I've been admiring the trout.
My husband loves to fish.
Alas, I don't get much occasion for it. I work in town.
But, Mr. Gardiner, you must fish here as often as you choose. I can supply you with equipment. If you look down there by the elm tree, the trout are usually plentiful there.
What a generous offer. I would not want to put you to any trouble.
It would be my pleasure.
My dear, I must trouble you for your aunt. Ah.
Your arrival was unexpected.
I had business with my steward that I needed to attend to. The rest of my party will arrive tomorrow.
Your sister?
Georgiana, yes. And others that you know. Mr. Bingley and his sisters. I should very much like to introduce my sister to you. And to your acquaintance during your stay. Will you allow me?
I should like that. Very much.
Georgiana, this is Miss Elizabeth Bennet, and her aunt and uncle, Mr. and Mrs. Gardner.
Miss Darcy was tall, and though little more than 16, her appearance was womanly and graceful. Elizabeth was amazed to discover that far from being proud, Miss Darcy was in fact exceedingly shy.
It is such a pleasure to meet you, Miss Darcy. Your brother speaks so highly of you.
Does he?
I've heard what an accomplished musician you are.
Oh, not really.
Your modesty is to your credit, but I know he is very proud of you.
That's such a lovely thing to say.
Will you pour tea for us, Georgiana?
I hope I shan't spill any.
It will not matter if you do. Mr. and Mrs. Gardner, may I introduce my dear friend Charles Bingley and his sister, Miss Caroline Bingley?
Oh, we have heard our niece Jane speak of you. How lovely to meet you.
Mr. Bingley? Miss Bingley?
Yes, Mrs. Gardner. It is a very long time since I had the pleasure of seeing Miss Bennet and her family. It was the 26th of November, as I recall, when we were all dancing together. Are all your sisters at Longbourn, Miss Bennet?
My sister Lydia is staying with friends in Brighton, but Jane... Jane and my other sisters are at home.
Dear Jane is looking after our four children. She is such a kind soul. And so beautiful, of course. My little girls dote on her.
So I hear the militia are removed from Meryton. That must be a great loss to your family.
My youngest sisters were sad, it is true.
But I thought there was someone in the regiment that you were particularly acquainted with. Surely you feel his loss?
No. Indeed, you are mistaken. I did not mourn the loss of any of their number in the slightest.
So we fish at noon, gentlemen.
Now there's a plan.
Can I help you to cake, Miss Bennet? Oh, this wretched cake is so crumbly.
Here, let me help you. We will make light work of it together.
Thank you.
Well, Georgiana, what did you make of her?
Miss Bennet? I liked her very much. She's so very pretty, too.
Really? I thought Eliza Bennet looked very ill this morning. Do you not think so, Mr. Darcy? I never in my life saw anyone so much altered as she is since the winter. She's grown so brown and coarse. I remember when we first knew her in Hertfordshire, how amazed we all were to find that she was reputed a beauty. And I particularly recollect you, Mr. Darcy, saying one night, she, a beauty, I should as soon call her mother a wit. How we all laughed at that.
Yes, but that was only when I first knew her. For it is now many months since I have considered her as one of the handsomest women of my acquaintance. Will you excuse me?
Elizabeth had been a good deal disappointed in not finding a letter from Jane on their first arrival at Lambton. On the third morning, her anxiety was over, as she received two letters at once. They had just been preparing to walk as the letters came in, and her uncle and aunt, leaving her to enjoy them in quiet, set off by themselves.
Dearest Lizzie, something has occurred of a most unexpected and serious nature.
It relates to poor Lydia. An express came from Colonel Forster last night to inform us that she was gone off to Scotland, to Gretna Green, with one of his officers, to own the truth, with Wickham. I am very, very sorry. Our poor mother is sadly grieved. They were off Saturday night about 12, but were not missed till yesterday morning at 8. Lydia left a few lines with Mrs. Forster, informing her of her intention. I must conclude now, as I cannot be long from poor mother. More as I have it.
Oh, Lydia.
Dearest Lizzie, I hardly know what I write, but I have bad news for you. Imprudent as a marriage between Mr. Wickham and our poor Lydia would be, we are now anxious to be assured it has taken place, for there is but too much reason to fear they are not gone to Gretna. Colonel Forster came yesterday and told us something was said by Denny, expressing his belief that Wickham never intended to go to Scotland or to marry Lydia at all. Colonel Forster set off, intending to trace their route, which he did easily to Clapham, but no farther. Our distress, my dear Lizzie, is very great. Mother and father believe the worst, but I still have hopes that they will marry. Father is going to London with Colonel Forster instantly to try to discover her. Lizzie, am I allowed to say I long for your return? I fear father will not be able to behave sensibly, such is his distress. My uncle's advice and assistance would mean everything to us right now.
Oh, where is my uncle? Come in, come in.
Miss Bennet.
Oh, I thought you were my uncle.
Whatever is the matter?
I must leave you. I must find my uncle. They are walking in the village.
I will not detain you for a moment, but please let me send a servant to find him.
Yes, please, send someone.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir?
Go and find Mr. and Mrs. Gardiner. They are on their way to Lambton. Tell them they must return on a matter of urgency.
Yes, sir.
Go with all speed. Please, let me call your maid.
No.
Or let me get you a glass of wine. You are not well.
I am. I'm only distressed by some dreadful news which I've received from Longbourn. I have just received a letter from Jane. My youngest sister has eloped with Mr. Wickham. They are run off together from Brighton. You know him too well to doubt the rest. She has no money, no connections, nothing that can tempt him to marry her. She is lost forever.
Good God.
And I think that I could have prevented it. I, who knew what he was. But I did not know that she had any particular feelings for him. Wretched girl, and it is all too late now.
I'm grieved. Shocked. But is it certain, absolutely certain?
Yes. They left for Brighton together on Sunday night and were traced almost to London, but not beyond.
And what has been done? What has been attempted to recover her?
My father is gone to London, and Jane has written for my uncle's immediate assistance. We shall be off, I hope, in half an hour. But nothing can be done. With such a man, I know nothing can be done. Please be so kind as to apologise for us to Miss Darcy, that I will not meet with her today. But do not tell her the circumstances. I would not wish to distress her.
Yes, yes, of course. I wish I could offer you some consolation. I hate to see you like this. If there was something I could do to alleviate...
I know. Thank you.
I will go. But I will hope for a good outcome.
Yes.
Take good care of yourself, Miss Bennet.
Mr. Darcy. I'm so sorry.
I am sorry too.
I shall never see him again.
Oh, Lizzie, I am glad you are here. Any news? Father is in London. He said he would not write again till there was something to report.
Let us not give way to anxiety. I shall leave today for London and join your father in the search.
Oh, brother! Sister! Oh, what calamities! If I had been able to carry my point of going to Brighton with all my family, none of this would have happened. Poor dear Lydia had no one to look after her. And now here's Mr. Bennet gone away, and I know he will fight Wickham. And then he will be killed, and the Collinses will turn us out before he is cold in his grave.
Sister, you let your imagination run free.
Oh, no.
Let us go inside and take some tea together.
This is the note she left Mrs. Forster. Will you hear it?
I cannot think any worse of her than I already do.
My dear Harriet, you will laugh when you know where I am gone.
And I cannot help laughing myself at your great surprise. I am going to Gretna Green. And if you cannot guess with who, then you are a simpleton, for there is but one man in the world I love.
You need not send them word at Longbourn of my going, for it will make the surprise the greater when I write to them and sign my name Lydia Wickham. What a good joke it will be!
Thoughtless girl.
But at least it shows she was serious in her intention to be married to him.
What did Colonel Forster say? Had they no apprehension of anything before the elopement took place?
He said he had suspected some partiality, especially on Lydia's side, but nothing to give him any alarm.
And was Denny convinced that Wickham would not marry?
He denied any foreknowledge, and when pressed, he would not repeat his assertion as to their not marrying, which gives us room for hope.
Until Colonel Forster came himself, you all presumed she was married.
I felt a little uneasy about Wickham's conduct, but I did not doubt that he would do the honourable thing. Then we discovered that Kitty had known more than the rest of us. That in Lydia's last letter she had informed her of their being in love with each other for many weeks.
And did Colonel Forster appear to think ill of Wickham himself?
He did not speak so well of Wickham as he formerly did. He believed him imprudent and extravagant. It is said that he left Meryton greatly in debt.
Oh, Jane, had we been less secret? Had we told what we knew of him? This could not have happened.
We acted with the best of intentions.
What possessed her? She has no sense of shame, of duty, of propriety. And how low are we now sunk in the world's estimation by her actions?
We must not worry what the world thinks of us. Our only hope is that this marriage takes place.
The days passed slowly, and their anxiety did not diminish.
I have heard from your uncle.
Has he found them?
Alas, no. According to Colonel Forster, it seems Mr. Wickham does not have a single relation to call upon in London.
It does not surprise me.
And it seems he left Meryton with gambling debts in excess of £1,000.
Oh, but this is terrible.
Your uncle is still searching for them, but your father will return tomorrow. There is no reason for him to linger, and his spirits are very low. I am afraid I must leave you too, girls.
The children will want to see their father, of course.
You have done more than enough for us.
I wish I could do more.
When Mr. Bennet arrived, he had all the appearance of his usual philosophic composure. He said as little as he had ever been in the habit of saying. He made no mention of the business that had taken him away, and it was some time before his daughters had courage to speak of it.
I am sorry for what you must have endured, Father.
Who should suffer but myself? It has been my own doing, and I ought to feel it.
Do you suppose them to be in London?
Yes.
Lydia always wanted to go to London.
She is happy, then. And, Lizzie, I bear you no ill will for being justified in your advice to me.
You can console yourself that I'm not going to run away, Papa. If I should ever go to Brighton, I would behave better than Lydia.
You go to Brighton? I would not trust you so near as Eastbourne. No, Kitty. I've learned to be cautious. No officer is ever to enter my house again. Dances will be absolutely prohibited. In fact, you are never to stir out of doors till you can prove that you have spent 10 minutes of every day in a rational manner. Do not make yourself unhappy. If you are a good girl for the next 10 years, I will take you to a review at the end of them.
The next day, a letter arrived from Mr. Gardiner.
Oh, Papa, what news? Good or bad?
Read it aloud, for I hardly know myself what it is about.
My dear brother, they are not married, nor can I find any intention of them being so.
But I hope it will not be long before they are. These are the conditions of their marrying, brother. You must assure your daughter, by settlement, her equal share of the £5,000 secured among your children after your death. Then you must enter into an engagement of allowing her, during your life, £100 per annum. These are conditions which I had no hesitation in complying with, dependent only on your approval. You will deduce from this that Mr. Wickham's circumstances are not so hopeless as we feared. There will be some money, even when all his debts are discharged, to settle on my niece, in addition to her own fortune.
Wickham is not so undeserving after all.
Have you answered the letter?
No.
You must do it immediately, or I will do it for you.
I would like to know how I will ever repay my brother, for he must have discharged Wickham's debts. Wickham has not a sixpence of his own, and no man in his senses would marry Lydia on so slight a temptation as 100 a year and 50 after I am gone.
That is very true. But I fear it was not a small sum.
Wickham's a fool if he takes her with a farthing less than £10,000.
Oh, £10,000. But we could not repay half that sum.
I am sure he would not marry Lydia if he had not a real regard for her.
You will find me in my study.
I suppose we must be thankful that they are to marry. Though small is their chance of happiness. We should tell Mother.
Oh, my dear, dear Lydia. Oh, this is delightful indeed. She will be married at 16. Oh, my good, kind brother, I knew he would manage everything. Oh, how I long to see her. And dear Wickham, too. Oh, Mrs. Wickham. Oh. How well it sounds. Oh, but the clothes, the wedding clothes. Lizzie, my dear, run down to ask your father how much you will give her. Oh, here he is. I shall ask him myself. Oh, but Mr. Bennet, where will they live? Hay Park might do if the Gouldings would quit. Or the great house at Stoke if the drawing room were larger. But Ashworth, it's too far off. I could not bear to have her 10 miles from me.
Mrs. Bennet, before you take any or all of these houses for your son and daughter, let us come to a right understanding. Into one house in this neighbourhood they shall never have admittance.
What?
Mine.
You strike me dead with your words, Mr. Bennet.
And I will not advance one guinea to buy new clothes for her either.
Oh.
And that is my final word on the subject.
Mr. Gardiner soon again wrote to his brother. He told him that Mr. Wickham had resolved on quitting the militia. It was his intention to join the regulars, and he had the promise of a post in another regiment now quartered in the north of England. Mr. Bennet and his daughters saw all the advantages of Wickham's removal from Hertfordshire, but Mrs. Bennet was not so well pleased with it.
To be so very far away from me. Now, you will have to let me see her, Mr. Bennet, before she is banished to the north.
I think perhaps, Father, that it would be appropriate for you to receive them. You should acknowledge Lydia's marriage for her sake, to show the world that she is settled now.
Jane is right. We should treat their union as if all were respectable.
Very well. We will none of us attend the ceremony, but I will send my permission for them to come once they are married.
Mr. and Mrs. Wickham.
Here I am, Mama.
Oh, Lydia.
And what do you think of my husband?
Mr. Bennet.
Sir.
Mrs. Bennet. Or might I say Mother.
Oh, is he not a charming man?
Oh, how he melts my heart. Oh, dear, dear Wickham. I shall be honoured to be your mother. I always longed for a son.
And to think it is only 3 months since I saw you all.
Good gracious, when I went away, I had no idea I should come back a married woman. Did you see my ring?
Oh.
Sisters, you must call me Mrs. Wickham now. And Jane, I must take your place now, and you must go lower because I am a married woman. Oh. I'm sure all my sisters must envy me. They must all go to Brighton. Oh. That is the place to get husbands.
Oh, I should have loved with all my heart to have been there with you, dearest Lydia. But I do not like you going to live so far from me.
Oh, you and Papa and all my sisters must come and see us. Oh. I dare say there will be many balls. Yes, I shall be able to get husbands for them all before the winter is over.
I thank you for my share of the favour. But I do not particularly like your way of getting husbands.
Oh, Lizzie. Come, there is a wedding breakfast laid out for you on the terrace.
Oh, Mr. Wickham, it is so lovely.
Oh. Lizzie, why are you hiding away in here?
I'm not hungry.
Well, it is good that I have found you, as I never gave you an account of my wedding, I believe. Are you not curious to hear how it was managed?
I think there cannot be too little said on the subject.
You are so strange. But I shall tell you anyway, and I know I shall interest you, for there was someone there of your acquaintance. Not my aunt and uncle, I don't mean them. They were horrid, unpleasant, all the time I was with them. No, I mean Mr. Darcy.
Mr. Darcy?
Yes, he was at my wedding. He came with my dear Wickham, don't you know? Oh, Oh, no. Now I recall it was meant to be a secret. I ought not to have said a word about it. I promised them so faithfully.
Then please say not another word on the subject.
Oh, you are my least favourite sister, Lizzie, to be sure.
What's the meaning of this? Why would he... I'll write to my aunt immediately and request an explanation.
Elizabeth had the satisfaction of soon receiving an answer to her letter. She was no sooner in the possession of it than, hurrying into the little copse where she was least likely to be interrupted, she sat down on one of the benches to read her aunt's reply.
My dear niece, on the very day of his arriving in London, Mr. Darcy called to tell Mr. Gardiner that he had found out where your sister and Mr. Wickham were. There is a lady, it seems a Mrs. Young, who was some time ago a governess to Miss Darcy. She owns a large house in Edward Street, which is where he discovered Lydia and Wickham. Mr. Darcy could not persuade Lydia to leave Wickham, although that was his first intention. Since such were her feelings, it only remained to secure a marriage between them. He and Wickham met several times, for they had much to discuss. It was settled that Wickham's debts would be paid by Mr. Darcy, amounting, I believe, to considerably more than £1,000, and on top of that, his new commission would be purchased. Mr. Darcy would not hear of Mr. Gardiner settling Wickham's debts, for he saw it as his duty. He said it was owing to him that Wickham's character had been generally misunderstood. But in spite of this, my dear Lizzie, you may rest assured that your uncle would never have yielded if we had not given him credit for another interest in the affair.
He did it for me.
I am afraid I interrupt you, dear sister.
No. No matter, I was leaving.
Shall we walk together, then?
Very well.
I hear you saw Pemberley in the summer.
Mm.
And you spoke with dear old Mrs. Reynolds. I don't suppose she mentioned me.
She did, in fact. She said that you had gone into the army, and she was afraid you'd not turned out well.
She must be very old now, of course. I've heard she's prone to confusion.
Also, Mr. Darcy introduced us to his sister.
And do you like her?
Very much.
I had heard she has improved with age. I sense you are angry with me, sister. Come. I know you to be honest. Will you enumerate all my faults for me one by one? It gives me a heavy heart, for I was very much looking forward to being your brother. You amongst all your sisters.
Nothing will be gained by us being enemies.
Then I think we should be friends. Besides, Lydia and I leave tomorrow, and so we may not see each other for another 12 months.
Come. Let us not quarrel about the past. Here, take my arm. Brother.
With the removal of Mr. and Mrs. Wickham to his new commission in the north of England, life settled down to a more tranquil pace in the Bennet household. Jane and Elizabeth relished the return to the status quo. But Mrs. Bennet was always on the hunt for more drama to enliven the daily proceedings.
Mr. Bingley is returned. Jane, the housekeeper at Netherfield received orders to prepare for the arrival of her master last Tuesday. He is arrived. Well, not that I care about it, though, but who knows what will happen. I suppose I shall have to invite him to supper, whether I wish to or not. Well, don't detain me, for there is so much to do.
Jane?
Lizzie, I know I appear distressed, but I am not. I was only confused for a moment because I felt that I should be looked at. But I assure you that the news does not affect me either with pleasure or pain.
Jane!
He's come. Mr. Bingley's here to visit us.
Oh.
And he's not alone. He brings that tall, proud man with him.
What? Good gracious. Mr. Darcy. Oh, I hate the very sight of him. Girls, arrange yourselves. Jane, sit in my armchair, dear. You will look a picture next to the window with a light in your hair.
I am comfortable here, Mama.
Oh, come, do as I say for your own good. What is wrong with you? Elizabeth, take the corner stool. We must look composed for the gentleman.
Mr. Bingley and Mr. Darcy.
Good day, Mum.
Mr. Bingley! We hardly know you. It is such a long time since you went away. I was afraid you would never come back.
No, not at all.
Many things have happened here. Miss Lucas is married and settled, and one of my own daughters, I suppose you heard of it. It was in the Times, though it was not put in as it ought to be. It only said, lately George Wickham Esquire to Miss Lydia Bennet, without there being a syllable said of her father or the place where she lived. Did you see it?
I did. Many congratulations.
How long do you mean to stay in the county, Mr. Bingley?
A few weeks, I hope. It is good to be back. How are you, Miss Bennet?
I am well.
You look very well.
Mr. Bingley, you are quite a visit in my debt. For when you went to town last winter, you promised to take a family dinner with us as soon as you returned.
Oh, forgive me, madam. Perhaps we can remedy that now.
I suppose you can come too, Mr. Darcy.
You are kind.
Well, let us fix a date at once.
We must.
After tea had been taken and the gentleman had left, Jane repaired to her room, where Elizabeth soon sought her out.
Oh, Jane, he still admires you. Did not you see the way he looked at you?
Stop it, Lizzie. I saw nothing particular in his look. He is just a sweet-natured young man. I enjoy his company, but nothing more. But what of you and Mr. Darcy? Did it pain you to see him again?
If he had spoken to me or even glanced in my direction, I might have been upset. But no, he seemed determined to ignore me. But I have hope of Mr. Bingley. I really do, Jane.
No, you must not say so. Oh, I have such a headache coming on.
A few days after this visit, Mr. Bingley called again.
Jane!
Alone.
He has come again!
And then again the next day.
Come to Miss Bennet and help her on with her gown. Never mind Miss Lizzie's hair.
And as luck would have it, he had no engagement for the day after that either. Jane spoke no more of her indifference. Elizabeth, who had a letter to write, went into the breakfast room for that purpose soon after tea.
Oh, forgive me.
Oh, Lizzie, do not go.
I will leave you two alone. You must tell her the good news.
Oh, Lizzie, I think my heart will burst. I do not deserve it. Oh, why is not everybody so happy?
Oh, congratulations, my dearest Jane. And to think but 3 days ago you were perfectly indifferent to him.
He has made me so happy. Oh, and Lizzie, you must know he was totally ignorant of my being in London last spring.
I suspected as much.
Would you believe it that when he went to town last November, he really loved me? Oh, he thought I did not love him.
He made a mistake.
Well, but it is to the credit of his modesty.
Here she is. Oh, Jane, I congratulate you. You will be a very happy woman. I have no doubt of your doing very well together. Your tempers are by no means unalike. You are each so complying that nothing will ever be resolved on, so easy that every servant will cheat you, and so generous that you will always exceed your income.
Oh, I hope not, Papa.
Exceed their income? What are you talking of, Mr. Bennet? Why, he has 4,000 or 5,000 a year, and very likely more. Oh, my dear, dear Jane. Oh, I'm so happy. I knew you could not be so beautiful for nothing. Oh, I am so happy. I shan't sleep a wink tonight. I shall probably never sleep again.
Oh, Mama.
The next day brought fresh surprises, for they received a most unexpected visitor at Longbourn.
Lady Catherine de Bourgh.
Oh, your ladyship. What an honour. A surprise. Welcome to our humble home.
Miss Elizabeth Bennet. That lady, I suppose, is your mother?
Oh, yes, she is.
And that, I suppose, is one of your sisters?
Yes.
Yes, madam. She is my youngest girl but one. My youngest of all is lately married, and my eldest is somewhere about the grounds, walking with a young man who, I believe, will soon become a part of the family.
You have a very small park here. Miss Bennet, I should be glad to take a turn in your grounds, if you will favour me with your company.
Go, my dear, and show her ladyship the many different walks.
Of course. You can be at no loss, Miss Bennet, to understand the reason of my journey hither.
Indeed, you are mistaken, madam. I have not been able to account for the honour of seeing you here.
Miss Bennet, do not trifle with me. A report of a most alarming nature reached me 2 days ago. I was told that not only your sister was on the point of being most advantageously married, but that you would, in all likelihood, be soon afterwards united to my nephew, Mr. Darcy. Though I know it must be a scandalous falsehood, I instantly resolved on setting off for this place, that I might make my sentiments known to you.
If you believe it impossible to be true, I wonder you took the trouble of coming so far.
Do you then pretend to be ignorant of this report?
I never heard of it.
Miss Bennet, I insist on being satisfied. Has my nephew made you an offer of marriage?
Your ladyship has declared it to be impossible.
Do you know who I am? I am almost the nearest relation he has in the world, and I'm entitled to know all his dearest concerns.
But you are not entitled to know mine.
Let me be clear. Mr. Darcy is engaged to my daughter.
If he is, you can have no reason to suppose he will make an offer to me.
The engagement between them is of a peculiar kind. It was the favourite wish of both my sister and I, while in their cradle we planned the union. And now, at the moment when the union would be accomplished, to be prevented by a young woman of inferior birth, of no importance in the world, and wholly unallied to the family, are you lost to every feeling of propriety and delicacy?
If there is no other objection to my marrying your nephew, I shall certainly not be kept from it by knowing his mother and aunt wished him to marry Mr. Berg. If Mr. Darcy is neither by honour nor inclination confined to his cousin, why is he not to make another choice? And if I am that choice, why may I not accept it?
Because honour, decorum, prudence, nay, interest forbid it.
Lady Catherine...
I will not be interrupted! My daughter and my nephew are formed for one another. Their fortune on both sides is splendid. They are destined for each other. And what is to divide them? The upstart pretensions of a young woman without family, connections or fortune. If you were sensible, you would not wish to quit the sphere in which you have been brought up.
In marrying your nephew, I should not consider myself as quitting the sphere. He is a gentleman. I am a gentleman's daughter. So far, we are equal.
Tell me once and for all, are you engaged to him?
I am not.
Ah. And will you promise me never to enter into such an engagement?
I will make no promise of the kind.
Miss Bennet, I am shocked and astonished. But do not think I will give up until you have given me the assurance I require.
I shall never give it.
But I have yet another objection to add. I am no stranger to the particulars of your youngest sister's infamous elopement. I know it all. And such a girl is to be my nephew's sister. Is her husband, the son of his late father's steward, to be his brother? What are you thinking? Are the shades of Pemberley to be thus polluted?
You can now have nothing farther to say. You have insulted me in every possible method. I must beg to return to the house.
Selfish, stupid girl. Think of my nephew's honour. A connection with you would disgrace him in the eyes of the world.
Lady Catherine, I have nothing further to say.
You are then resolved to have him?
I am only resolved to act in that manner which, in my opinion, will constitute my happiness.
You refuse then to oblige me?
Goodbye, Lady Catherine.
I take no leave of you, Miss Bennet. I send no compliments to your mother. You deserve no such attention. I am seriously displeased.
Lizzie,
I have received a letter this morning that has astonished me exceedingly. I did not know before today that I had two daughters on the brink of matrimony.
Who is the letter from?
Mr. Collins.
Well, what can he have to say?
Well, let's see. There is much extraneous detail. Congratulations on Jane's news. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, and he advises me as a Christian never to admit Lydia again to my sight. As a Christian, he tells me this, mind. Where is the passage concerning you? Ah, here we are. Your daughter, Elizabeth, it is presumed, will not long bear
the name of Bennet, and the chosen partner of her fate may be reasonably looked up to as one of the most illustrious personages of the land.
Can you possibly guess, Lizzie, who is meant by this?
Let me warn my cousin Elizabeth that we have reason to believe that his aunt, Lady Catherine de Bourgh, does not look on the match with a friendly eye.
Mr. Darcy is the man. He thinks you are to marry Mr. Darcy, the one man in the world for whom you feel nothing but dislike. It is absurd, is it not?
Where's Jane? Oh, excuse me, Papa, but Mr. Bingley's here and wants to go walking. Oh, and he has brought Mr. Darcy with him. Oh. You will have to talk to him, Lizzie, because I'm going to see Maria.
Worse luck, Lizzie. Try and fend him off as best you can.
Mr. Darcy, I can no longer refrain from thanking you for your extraordinary kindness to my sister.
I'm sorry that you have been informed of it.
Oh, you must not blame my aunt. It was Lydia who first told me of it. Let me thank you again in the name of all my family.
If you will thank me, let it be for yourself alone. Much as I respect your family, I thought only of you.
Oh.
You were too generous to trifle with me. If your feelings are still what they were last April, tell me so at once. My affections and wishes are unchanged, but one word from you will silence me on this subject forever.
Oh, my feelings have undergone such a material change since then. I cannot tell you how welcome your words are, how I have wished for them.
My dearest Elizabeth, can it be true that you love me too?
It is true.
Will you be my wife?
It would be an honour.
Oh, my Lizzie.
I thought you would never ask me again.
Well, my aunt called on me yesterday and told me of your meeting. It taught me to hope. I knew that had you been absolutely decided against me, you would have acknowledged it to Lady Catherine frankly and openly.
Yes, you know me well. After abusing you so abominably to your face, I could have no scruple in abusing you to all your relations.
Oh, what did you say of me that I did not deserve? My behaviour at that time was unpardonable. I was arrogant. I expected you to accept me. I expected you to be grateful.
Neither of us is beyond reproach. What must you have thought of me when we met at Pemberley?
I felt nothing but surprise.
You were so kind to us.
I wanted to prove to you that I was not so mean as to resent the past.
I was so desirous of your good opinion then, when I felt there was no hope for it. But tell me, when did you begin to love me?
I cannot fix on the hour, or the spot, or the look, or the words which laid the foundation. I was in the middle before I knew that I had begun. I will speak to your father.
Lizzie. Are you out of your senses to be accepting this man? I thought you hated him.
Have you any other objection than your belief of my indifference?
We all know him as a proud, unpleasant sort of man, but this would be nothing if you really liked him.
He is not proud at all. You do not know what he really is like.
Lizzie, I have given him my consent. He is the kind of man, indeed, to whom I should never dare refuse anything, but I know you, Lizzie. I know you could not be happy unless you truly esteemed your husband. My child, let me not have the grief of seeing you unable to respect your partner in life.
He is the kindest, most generous man alive. I could not love him more, Papa. I could spend all week enumerating his good qualities, what he has done for us as a family. But chiefly, you must know it was he who paid Wickham's debts.
What?
He did everything. He ensured Lydia's marriage. He secured Wickham his commission.
Well, 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 it is a day of wonders. I have no more to say. I could not have parted with you, my Lizzie, to anyone more worthy. Now you must tell your mother.
She will be surprised.
She will take it in her stride. And I shall write at once to Mr. Collins. I shall enjoy that. But if any young men come for Mary or Kitty, send them in, for I am quite at my leisure.
Oh! Good gracious! Lord bless me! Only think, oh, dear me, Mr. Darcy. Oh, my sweetest Lizzie, how rich and great you will be. What pin money, what jewels, what carriages you will have. Oh, Jane is nothing to it, nothing at all. Oh, I am so pleased. What a charming man. I have always thought so. So handsome. Oh, and tall. Three daughters married. 10,000 a year. Oh, Lord, what will become of me? I shall go distracted.
Dear Mr. Collins, I must trouble you once more for congratulations. Elizabeth will soon be the wife of Mr. Darcy. Console Lady Catherine as well as you can, but if I were you, I would stand by the nephew. He has more to give.
Happy for all her maternal feelings was the day on which Mrs. Bennet got rid of her two most deserving daughters. With what delighted pride she afterwards visited Mrs. Bingley and talked of Mrs. Darcy may be guessed. I wish I could say, for the sake of her family, that this happy ending produced so miraculous an effect as to make her a sensible, amiable, well-informed woman for the rest of her life, though perhaps it was lucky for her husband, who might not have been able to withstand such a change, that she still was occasionally nervous and invariably silly.
Well, Mrs. Darcy, how do you like Pemberley now you are mistress of it?
Oh, I like it tolerably well, although it is not handsome enough to tempt me.
Ah, then I think you are proud.
You would know, Mr. Darcy.
Take my arm, dearest. Shall we walk around the park?
Do I tease you too often, my love?
Georgiana is astonished by your behaviour.
I love your sister, but she needs to learn that a wife must sometimes take liberties with her husband.
She certainly found her teacher, then.
But you do know how much I love you.
You intend to tell me every day, I hope.
In episode 3 of Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen, Elizabeth Bennet was played by Pippa Nixon, Mr. Darcy by Jamie Parker, Mrs. Bennet by Samantha Spiro, and Mr. Bennet by David Troughton. Mr. Bingley was Joshua Maguire, Jane Bennet, Lydia Wilson, Lydia, Georgie Fuller, and Wickham, Joel McCormack. Mrs. Gardner was Priyanka Burford, Mr. Gardner, Steve Toussaint, and Lady Catherine de Bourgh, Carolyn Pickles. Miss Bingley was Fenella Woolgar, Mr. Collins, Toby Jones, Kitty Bennet, Carice O'Leary, and Georgiana Darcy, Catherine Rose Morley. The narrator was Amanda Root. Pride and Prejudice was dramatised by Charlotte Jones and directed by Sally Avens.
Emma by Jane Austen. Dramatised in 2 episodes by April De Angelis.
Goodbye, Emma, dear Emma. Goodbye, Mr.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Episode 1.
Goodbye.
game of backgammon, perhaps, Papa?
I do not feel disposed to it this evening, Emma, my dear. Poor Miss Taylor.
Oh, we will only be half a mile apart. How often we shall be going to see them and they coming to see us. We shall always be meeting.
Good evening.
Mr. Knightley, it is very kind of you to come out at this late hour to call upon us. I'm afraid you must have had a shocking walk.
Not at all, sir. It is a beautiful moonlight night, and so mild that I must draw back from your great fire.
Well, that is quite surprising, for we have had a vast deal of rain here. It rained dreadfully hard for half an hour while we were at breakfast.
I wanted them to put off the wedding.
By the by, I have not wished you joy. Being pretty well aware what sort of joy you must both be feeling, I've been in no hurry with my congratulations. But I hope it all went off tolerably well. Mm-hmm. How did you all behave? Who cried most?
Ah, poor Miss Taylor. What a pity it is that Mr. Weston ever thought of her.
I cannot agree with you, Papa. Mr. Weston is an excellent man, and he thoroughly deserves a good wife. And now that I'm 21, you would not have Miss Taylor be my governess forever, and bear all my odd humours when she might have a husband and house of her own.
Where is the advantage of a house of her own, when our dear Hartfield is three times as large? And you have never any odd humours, my dear. Poor Miss Taylor. It is a sad business.
Poor Mr. and Miss Woodhouse, if you please. But I cannot possibly say poor Miss Taylor. I have a great regard for you and Emma, but it must be better to have only one to please than two.
Especially when one of those two is such a fanciful, troublesome creature. That is what you have in your head, I know, and what you would certainly say if my father were not by.
Indeed, I'm afraid I am sometimes very fanciful.
My dearest Papa, you do not think I could mean you. What a horrible idea. I meant only myself. Mr. Knightley loves to find fault with me, you know, in a joke. It's all a joke. We always say what we like to one another.
Dear Emma bears everything so well. But Mr. Knightley, she is really very sorry to lose poor Miss Taylor, and I'm sure she will miss her more than she thinks. Miss Taylor was such a friend to Emma when we lost our poor Isabella to married life.
It is impossible that Emma should not miss such a companion. But she knows how much the marriage is to Miss Taylor's advantage.
Mm. And you've forgotten one matter of joy to me, that I made the match myself. That I made it 4 years ago, and to have it take place and be proved in the right when so many people said Mr. Weston would never marry again, may comfort me for anything.
Oh, my dear, pray do not make any more matches. They are silly things. And break up one's family circle grievously.
I promise you to make none for myself, Papa. But indeed I must for other people. You cannot think I shall leave off matchmaking after such success.
I do not understand what you mean by success. What are you proud of? You made a lucky guess, and that is all that you
say. Oh, depend upon it, a lucky guess is never merely luck. There's always some talent in it.
A straightforward, open-hearted man like Weston and a rational, unaffected woman like Miss Taylor may be safely left to manage their own concerns.
Oh, I pity you, Mr. Knightley. I thought you cleverer. If I had not promoted Mr. Weston's visits here and given many little encouragements and smoothed many little matters, it might not have come to anything at all.
Emma never thinks of herself if she can do good to others.
I shall make just one more match, Papa, for Mr. Elton. Well, there's nobody in Highbury who deserves him. It's too small a village to provide a varied society. And he's been here a whole year and fitted up his house so comfortably that it would be a shame to have him single any longer.
Mr. Elton is a very pretty young man, to be sure. But if you want to show him any attention, my dear, ask him to come and spend the evening with us.
Yes, invite him to Hartfield, Emma, and help him to the best of the fish and the chicken, but leave him to choose his own wife.
I shall send out invitations immediately. Who shall we have? Why, Mr. and Mrs. Weston, of course. And you, Mr. Knightley, if you will come. And Mr. Elton. And Mr. and Mrs. Perry,
Mrs. Goddard, Mr. and Mrs. Cole.
Mrs. and Miss Bates.
Oh, Mrs. Woodhouse.
Oh. Shall you make a pair for cards with Mr. Knightley and Papa?
Oh, thank you. Oh, you're so kind. Oh, it is delightful to be here, Miss Woodhouse. That's so beautiful. I was saying to Mother, wasn't I? She can see amazingly well still. Oh.